You are listening to Setting History Straight with Linda Watson on Hebrew Nation Radio.
All right, so we're going to be talking, well, I will be talking if it ever comes up. Okay, Lost Keys to the Book of Revelations. Now, this, most of you know some of this, but I don't know that you know all of these pieces, but I'll tell you what the Lost Keys to the Book of Revelation is, and that is understanding. That is understanding who Israel is. And I'm going to prove it to you today because the 11 books of the prophets, okay, talk about one thing. There's a war that happens and Israel is involved in this war. All 12 tribes are brought into captivity and then they return back to their lands. That's what the whole story in the 11 books are, and every one of the books have the same story. But when you get to the book of Revelations, you don't see any of that. Do y'all understand that it's not showing? It's not there. So it's almost like it's two different things. But I'm going to show you that they tie together unbelievably. So she is the key. Israel is the key to understanding. And this is what happens is that you have the Protestants who don't look at the Old Testament and you have the Jews who don't look at the New Testament. And what happens here is that the Old Testament reveals the New Testament and you're going to see it today. And the New Testament reveals the Old Testament. And you have to have both. You have to have both books because you're going to understand what he's talking about by using the New Testament, by using the Old Testament and vice versa. And that's why people don't understand the book of Revelations, because they haven't taken the teachings that are in the 11 books and applied them to the book of Revelations. They just read Matthew 24. They read Luke 21. And then they go straight to the book of Revelations and then they guess. That's what they do. That's a guessing job. But you don't have to guess because the two stories actually meet and match. And so it's a really fascinating thing. So what is the whole core for the book of Revelations? What is the real issue? And that goes back to Jeremiah 9, verse 12. The core reason why the book of Revelations has to be written. Who is the wise man that understands this? Y'all are the wise people that understand this. And who is he who, as the mouth of God has spoken, that he may declare it? For what? The land perishes and burns and is like a wilderness. There is none that passes through it. Jeremiah 9, verse 13, and the Lord says, because you have forsaken my law. See, this is what it all comes down to. You've forsaken my law, and these punishments are coming because of that reason. Now, there's more to it, obviously, than that, because he goes on and he says, which I've set before them and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein. So you haven't been walking in my laws, and that's why the punishment's going to come on you with the captivity, and that's what he's really saying. So this is the core reason. But the major problem he brings out is this, and that's in Ezekiel 7, verse 19. They shall cast their silver into the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of wrath of the Lord. Now, what's going to happen here is all these people that are wealthy and affluent and, you know, really leaders in the country, they're going to be brought down to the same level as everybody else. Do y'all see this? Because money buys you everything now. Going on, and they shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block for their iniquity. Because, see, everybody thinks, well, the biggest problem in America is abortion, and it's a very serious one because that's murder. And, you know, we're tired of the murder. When it talks about you're tired of the murder, that's what he's talking about. He's mainly talking about you being tired of the abortion that's going on. But he's telling you that your stumbling block is your money. And so he's going to bring everybody down to the same level at one point, and they'll all be on equal playing field. I mean, that's how it's going to happen. It's not going to be any more three tiers of people. You know, you have this caste system going on, even though they say it's not a caste system. It is. You have the upper wealthy people, and then you have the upper middle class, and then those kind of go together. Then you have the middle class, and then you have the lower class, and that's what you have. And they really don't combine very well. I mean, that's just a fact. That's how it works. And he's telling you that I'm going to have you throw your silver and gold in the streets because it's not going to be of no value to you. Your money and your wealth, So he's going to put everybody down on the same level with this move that he's going to make. And it's a snare that he set. He tells you, I've set a snare for Israel. You know what a snare is? A little rabbit's jumping along, and all of a sudden there's this little thing that catches him, a trap, and then he's caught just instantly. Or another animal the same way. And so people set snares. They don't see them coming. They don't see it's covered over with grass. It's covered over with something. So they don't see it coming. And they walk into a snare. Well, that's what he says he's going to do. They're not going to be expecting it. But he does tell you he gives his secrets to his prophets. Well, a prophet, all that is a teacher. And so if all of y'all would fall into that same category, you know, we all have received his secrets. We've received his secrets. We know what's about to take place. We don't necessarily know the timing perfectly, but we have a lot of things in place to know. Okay, so let's get to the very first point that I'm going to prove this to you. You know, the first four horsemen, people beat them to death. The first one was the white horse. That is probably, without a doubt, has to do with pestilence, which, you know, people make a connection with that to the medical field and this vaccine that they had. And that's part of it, absolutely part of it. But that would be pestilence. In that case, it would be pestilence. Then you had the red horse, which was war. Then you had the black horse, which was famine. Okay, now we get to this, which we're going to get to these 7 points here. Now you get to this Revelation 6, verse 8, and that is the fourth horse, and it's a pale horse, and sometimes they call it a green horse, and the name that sat on it was death, and hell followed after it. Now listen to the words here, because everybody doesn't understand what it's saying. And power was given to them, who is them, over the four parts of the earth. That's the angels that we're talking about here that's mentioned it just a little further up in this was given. Power was given to them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger, that's your famine, and with death, that's your pestilence, and with the beast of the earth. Okay, so now those are the four elements that God said, I will punish Israel with. Now, I'm going to show you this. The Western world, all right, is called the West primarily, and it's made up of Europe, North America, and Australia. And there's some other smaller little countries, right? But this is what when we refer to the Western part of the world, these are basically it. And there's some, depending on how you define it, that define it with even more countries than this, right? But this is called the Western part of the world. Now, watch this. Okay, so 16.5% of North America is the percentage of land mass in the world, okay? 6.8% of Europe is the land, is their portion of the land mass. Australia is 1.51 of the Earth's land mass. Now, you can also throw in places like South Africa, possibly even throw in, where is it, Curtis is from, New Zealand. And when you add all these up, these land masses here for the western part of the world, it comes up to 24.81, which is the same thing as 1/4. Do y'all see that? So it's 1/4. This makes up these western countries, which are the Christian nations, make up 1/4 of the land of the landmass. So I think, this is my belief, that when he's talking about 1/4 of the earth, he's referring just to the western part of the world, which are the Christian nations. That's what I'm thinking. And so now watch this, and I'm going to prove to you that this is the punishment that he brings on Israel. Jeremiah 14, verse 12. And when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and obligation, I will not accept them. I will consume them by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. You see, those are the three things, again, that are mentioned in the book of Revelations: the sword, famine, and pestilence. Now, you get to Ezekiel 14, verse 21, and the Father just comes out and says it. And thus said the Lord God, how much more when I send all four sore judgments upon Jerusalem? The sword, the famine, the beast. All right, the beast are the people that come into your land that are evil to destroy it. The pestilence. And so to cut off from man and beast. Okay, so he's saying there's four judgments I use for Israel, and these are them: the sword, the famine, the noise of the beast, and the pestilence. That's identically the same as the quote from Revelations that said that 1/4 of the earth would be impacted by these. Now, it doesn't say that 1/4 of the earth is destroyed and killed. That's not what it says. It doesn't say that. It says that the 1/4 of the earth is affected by the sword, the famine, the beast, and the pestilence. And that's what he's saying there. And you know, go back and read it yourself. I can go back and bring it back up so y'all can take a look. And I will leave a few men from among the sword and famine and with pestilence, and I declare abomination among the heathen. Okay, so he's using that over and over in the books, talking about it. And y'all know Ezekiel chapter 5, one of the most important chapters in your Bible, that talks about 1/3 will die by war, 1/3 will die by pestilence and famine, and 1/3 will run. And that's what it says. Now we get to the fifth seal is the persecution. And the persecution, we don't look at persecution the same way. At least I don't. I think that it's the persecution against the conservative people that's going on in this country. And I see it as a persecution. And I don't think anybody at living in America can't see what's going on and seeing how the people who are the conservative people are being persecuted every day. And all the laws are being written to protect the other people that are not conservative. And this is just how everything's coming down. And I absolutely see that fifth seal differently, because I think there is a huge persecution going on, but it's not just for the religious people. It's for all the conservative people. Those are the people that are being called up to question right now. In the courts, every institution right now, every institution is persecuting the conservative people. And you see Trump being persecuted, and you see January 6th. This is not hard. And if you look at Canada, you saw the truckers. I mean, don't forget about that, because the Father says he won't do anything until this persecution starts. That's one of the reasons he comes back, is to protect his people. We talked about that before. He comes back to save his people. Now, the sixth seal is a earthquake. Okay, now let's see if we can tie that back to the book of the prophets, because it can the prophets explain this sixth seal, and let's see if that's the case. So it says, behold, I opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The sun became as black as sackcloth hair, and the moon as blood. This is also can indicate that there's a possible eclipse, and the stars, it's going to be so severe that the stars fall to the earth, and the fig tree cast her untimely figs, and she is shaken as a mighty wind. Okay, going on. And the heavens departed as a scroll, and it rolls together, and every mountain and island moves out of its place. So this massive earthquake that's talked about as the sixth seal has a seal separate for itself. And it's so massive that the islands and the mountains move. Do y'all understand that? And the stars fall from heaven. This could have symbolic meaning, yes, but it's an actual thing that happens. And so if I go back to the book of the prophets, do they discuss this sixth seal? And yes, they do. All right, and this is the part where the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief and the mighty and every bondsman and every freeman hides himself in the dens and the rocks. See, that's where I'm telling you, everything is reset. Everything is reset. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. They know at that point when the earthquake hits, it's the end time. Okay, and they all run to the mountains to hide, or they hide in caves. You can go back to Jeremiah chapter 30. So it talks about that. I think chapter 16 also. All right, so now here in the Old Testament, it's talking about this same earthquake. Now watch. Ezekiel 38 verse 18, and it shall come to pass in the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, that is Russia. Okay, how do I know it's Gog? Because the Sarmatians were called the tribe of Gog. That was a Russian tribe, and that was by Herodias, who was the historian that wrote in really around the 4th century. So verse 19, for in my jealousy and in fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking. Where? In the land of Israel. Now, of course, there is going to be a huge shaking anyway, right? From the war, people are going to be shaking in their boots, right? Everybody is. But this is what it's telling you here. Now Isaiah 24 verse 18 talks about it again. And it shall come to pass that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into a pit, and he that comes out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in a snare, and the windows of heaven shall open, and the foundation of the earth do shake. This thing is going to be so massive that it shakes the foundation of the earth. Now watch this. It says the earth will reel. It's in verse 20, 24, 20. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. So that's going to be a huge, massive earthquake that's going to come on this, on our land. And it's because Israel was fallen. And it says the father says the blood rushes into his face. He's furious. And that's when he shakes the whole earth. And so going on. So this, do y'all see how the Old Testament is explaining the New Testament? It's telling you when it's going to happen. It's going to tell you when the sixth seal opens, it's going to be during the middle of this war. So these seals are being opened. Yes. Okay. And so the book of Revelations can't tell it all in the right time sequence totally. They have to tell and explain one piece at a time. Do y'all understand that? That's what he's trying to do.
Linda? Right,
so, yes. Uh-huh.
I guess that you answered the question. So the war begins first, obviously, because if the war is one of the seals, it comes before the sixth. Then you feel like the earthquake, according to what scripture is saying, is going to happen in the middle of the war?
Yes, yeah, sometime during the war. Okay. Is he saying after... let's see what he actually says. Let me go back here. It comes to it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel. You know, proving that this is the war that comes to America, because the Gog and Magog war that's talked about in the book of Revelations at the end is a different war that happens possibly at the end of the thousand-year period after that thousand-year period. But this right here is talking about when Gog comes into your land, there's a huge earthquake. I mean, that's what we're reading. I mean, we could be wrong on, I could be wrong. I mean, but it looks pretty plain to me. It looks pretty plain to me. Now, here's Revelations 8, verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and it was a great mountain. We know the word mountain refers to governments, because we've covered that a million times. Revelation 17 talks about how, you know, a mountain and a government. It says five fall, one is, and two are to come, right? One is to come. Burns with the fire, cast into the sea. So this word here, the root word is G142. There's actually two root words there, but one is G142, and it means to be removed. So this mountain, which is a government, gets removed and burned and is cast into the sea. The sea represents Gentiles. We know that because he said, when you want to, he told the disciples, you go and fish for fish on the right side of the boat. I mean, on the right side of the boat, because you have to fish for unbelievers in the sea. Do y'all understand? So he's dropped into the sea, which is associated with unbelievers. Do y'all understand that? And one third of the part of the sea becomes blood. Now, a lot of this is symbolism, because once this war starts, it could be they could have a battle that goes on in the Atlantic, in the Pacific, between our ships. That's, you know, very much possible that Russia brings their ships in, and or the whoever this big conglomerate is, which is probably Russia, China, and all the eastern part of the world, they bring their ships in and probably surround this country. I could see that there would be a war that would go on in that water. That's the ships would actually be fighting one another. I mean, I think.
Hey, Linda.
Awesome. Uh-huh.
Putin has threatened, if they give Ukraine long range missiles, said that would be a direct involvement in the war. So it is heating up.
Yeah, and he's trying to justify what he's about to do, because they already know, our government already knows that China and Russia are preparing for war with us, because they came out and made a statement the same week as, you know, they came out and made a statement the same week as the Democratic Party nomination. Came out and they said, we are preparing for war with China and Russia. That's what they said. So, I mean, you can't hardly miss that, because they bound to know, but they're not going to tell Americans that they're preparing for war here on our land. And that's where the rubber hits the road. Now,
that they're holding major war games, China, India, Russia, Brazil. They're going to have 400 warships. It's worldwide.
Wow.
So it's preparing.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I believe that's what's going on here, too. Now, for those who may be new, Brian, that might be you. Revelation 17, verse 9, it says the seven heads on the beast were seven mountains, and which the woman sits on. That woman is the harlot. We'll talk about her in a minute. And these seven are seven kings. That means they have kingdoms. Okay. Five have fallen. That at the time John was writing, five had fallen. One is, that was Rome. And the other is yet to come. And that other was going to be the one that we're under right now. Okay. We're under this, I don't even know what you call us. We're under this totalitarian liberal government, which I think is a communistic form of government. I mean, that's what I think we're under. I don't think we're under the Constitution anymore. I think this thing has already been pretty much shot to pieces. So that just proves that what a mountain is a government. And that's all I'm showing you here, is that he's telling you the government is going down. So that's going to be the next thing that happens is the government goes down. Now let's go to the next thing that happens. And that is it's a little bit before that, Revelations 8, verse 7. And the angel sounded, and there was hail and fire mingled with blood, and there was cast into the earth a third part of the trees. Could be man, but it also can be the actual trees, right? And it burned up, and all the grass, green grass, is burned, and that's the sign of a famine or a drought, right? Well, now watch this. So does this, which is in Revelations 8, verse 7, can it be tied back? Is there anything that explains it in the books of the prophets? And yes, it is in Jeremiah 14, verse 6. And the wild asses did stand in the high places, and they sniffed the wind like dragons, and their eyes did fail because there was no grass. That's pretty plain. There was no grass. So you see that he's given explanation here that it's a drought. In Jeremiah, he's telling you there's a drought, and that's what's causing the one-third of the trees to die and one-third of the grass. Well, now watch this. This is amazing. As of September 10th, 2024, 28.70% of the United States and Puerto Rico are under a drought. Now watch this. 34.8%, one-third, that's one-third of the lower 48 states are in a drought. So do y'all see what I'm saying to you here? And this is according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. They're tracking all this. And so do y'all see that that these prophecies are already in, they're already kicking in. They're already kicking in. But because people can't understand them, they're doing all kinds, they're jumping all over the place with all of these prophecies, when all they need to do is go back to the Bible, and the Bible will open and unlock those answers in the book of Revelations. If you'll use those 11 books, they will unlock and explain everything that's going on in the book of Revelations. They just will. And it's the most amazing thing, because people don't see Israel in there, but she's there everywhere. Now, going on, Revelations 8, verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there was a star from heaven that is like a meteor that comes to the earth, burns like a lamp. It fell on a third part of the rivers and on the fountains of the waters. All right, Revelations 8, verse 11, and the name of the star was called Wormwood, and a third part of the waters became wormwood, a third part, and many men died of the waters because it was bitter. Now, I don't know if that's a literal thing that happens. I don't know if that literally happens, but I do understand this. And now here's Isaiah 19, verse 5. And so the waters shall fail from the sea, and the rivers shall be wasted and dry up. Okay, so here he's talking about the rivers and the sea, how they're going to be impacted here, right? With a drought and wasted, it says, and they fail. But now, going on, verse 6, and they shall turn their rivers far away, and their brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up, and the rills and the flags shall wither. Okay, so this again is talking about how this drought is so major that, you know, there's no, that the rivers start drying up, the land starts drying up. But this wormwood is a totally different subject here. Here it is. So Jeremiah 9, verse 15, therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. Now that goes back to Numbers 5, verse 11 through 31. which is a husband that takes his wife who has committed, he thinks she's committed adultery, before the high priest. Neil, are you there yet for the high priest?
Oh, yeah. Well, what happens is that if the husband is suspicious of the woman committing adultery, then he is, and he can't prove it because he doesn't have witnesses, but if he brings her before the council and then the high priest, what they'll do is that they'll tell her to drink this wormwood. And if the wormwood, if nothing happens after she drinks it, then she is innocent. But if she drinks it and her belly begins to swell and her thigh begins to rot, then she is guilty, and then she is stoned to death. So,
So what the father's explaining here is he's going to feed them wormwood because the whole country is in the state of adultery. Do y'all understand that? That they've left their husband for money.
And you know, the interesting thing about that is that in the New Testament, when he says it's Messiah that will drink the wormwood because he's taking on the sin of the wife. You know, he's willing to give up his life for his bride.
Wonderful. That's a real good point. I didn't think about that. That was that bitter thing that they gave him. Yeah, that bitter. Remember, it gives him a bitter like gall to drink, water of gall to drink. So y'all know wormwood, what wormwood is? It's a parasite killer. It kills parasites. And interesting, because that's the same thing. It's ivermectin is made exactly like wormwood. I mean, ivermectin is made exactly like wormwood. It is the synthetic form of wormwood. It's a cleanser. Do y'all understand what the Bible is saying here? He's going to cleanse this woman. He's going to cleanse her with the wormwood. Okay, yes, Terry.
Research that has come out, and there was an oncology physician that was talking about how they have been using ivermectin for advanced cancer cases, and they're seeing the tumor shrink.
Yes. You know, that's amazing. That is really amazing. If that's true, I've read that too, because somehow it's associated with parasites. And this thing is a parasite cleanse. So what you see what the father is doing, he's really telling you, I'm going to cleanse. I'm going to cleanse this woman, which is the harlot, which we're talking about here, which is going to be the Christian nations, because they've left their husband, who is the Messiah. They've left him. And so, you know, because they're in the state of adultery, there's going to be a cleansing. And so this is what he's talking about here.
Well, Linda, and I think it's interesting the way the verse says it. He says, before I will feed them wormwood. And if you go back to what the analogy of what Neil talked about on the adulterous bride, first of all, he has to prove that she's an adulterous bride before he can cleanse her, right? So he has to prove her adultery, and then he'll cleanse her from her adulterous ways.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, she's going to, that's exactly right. I mean, do y'all understand what the Father is saying in the book of Revelations? I'm giving you the high points. I'm going through the high points. I'm not going to go through the entire book of Revelations, but I'm going to go through all the points that you can see, so you can see the symbolism and you can see how it's pointing, and the explanations are coming from the Old Testament to be able to reveal to you what he's doing in the book of Revelations. That's what's going on here. And it's so obvious. I just, you know, all right, so going on Revelations 9, verse 14, and the sixth angel sounded with a trumpet. There's actually talks about trumpets in scripture in those 11 books that the trumpets are blown. Loose the four angels which are bound in the river Euphrates, and the four angels are loosed, and when they are prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year to slaughter a third of men. Now, This goes back to Ezekiel chapter 5. I don't know if I put that verse in there, but I'm going to guess. All right, so here in verse, I'm going to get to it, sorry. Revelations 9, verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, which is 200 million man army. I heard the number of them. Now, that tells you right off the bat what? Tell me what that is. Because there's only one nation that can put 200 million men on a battlefield. Who is it? Anybody? China. China's the only nation that can put 200 million men on a battlefield. Do y'all see that he's telling you that he's talking about our war? He's talking about our war. In Revelations 9, where it talks about that whole chapter is talking about the war that comes on America, but nobody figures that out. Why? Because they don't go back and use the Bible to explain the book of Revelations. They're guessing. Some of them guess pretty good, but, you know, they could look at what's going on in the world, and they said, oh, looks like this 200 million army may be Russia and China. It absolutely is going to be. That's exactly what it is. It's called the first woe, I believe. All right, Ezekiel 5, verse 1. And this is the part that I want to get to. Notice how this is going to explain this whole thing here. Thou, O son of man, take you a sharp knife and a barber's razor and cause it to pass over the head and upon thy beard and take the balances and weigh and divide the hair. And he's telling him how to divide it. And you shall burn in the fire 1/3 part of the midst of the city. It's the cities that get destroyed, y'all. It's the cities that get destroyed. So 1/3 of the cities are going to be destroyed, but we're told 1/3 of the men would be destroyed, you know, also in that same passage. When the days of the siege is fulfilled, and there shall take 1/3 and smite it with a knife, that's the sword, and then you will take 1/3 and scatter them to the wind and draw a sword after them. So that's the ones that are running from the war. Okay, so there is the same explanation here of the war in Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 2. But this is talked about all through, you know, in practically every chapter in the 11 books. The 11 books of the prophets, it's talked about everywhere. But it's talking about 1/3 in the midst of the city. So there's that 1/3 of men that died. Do y'all see that? Now here it goes. This is the description, Jeremiah 4, verse 29. The whole city shall flee for the fear of the noise of the horsemen and the bowmen. And they shall go into the thickets and climb up in the rocks, and every city shall be forsaken, and no man shall dwell therein. So it's the cities that are going to be destroyed. It doesn't mean that the war won't go to the side, you know, the countryside, but it's the cities that the Father wants destroyed. He wants the cities taken down because he's got to level this to create the next government that he's going to set up. So, you know, this is the next piece that we're going to cover, and that goes to now we're down to Revelation 13 and 17 because they are parallel chapters talking about basically the same thing. And they have this beast that comes, rises out of the sea. Well, that's also going to be a man, but it is a governmental system. It's that block of Eastern nations that he keeps talking about in the northern country. All through scripture, he talks about you're going to be attacked, Israel, by the countries out of the north, in the northern countries. Okay, so that is China and Russia primarily, but also the other eastern countries, because this is a war between the circumcised and the uncircumcised. If you go to Jeremiah 9, verse 27, he said it's the war comes from the people the uncircumcised come against the circumcised. And then he lists all the nations, many of the nations that were uncircumcised. So you understand what he's trying to say here. He's trying to tell you that there's a war between the people who are Esau and the people that are Jacob. And that's the Jacob represents the nations that are the Christian nations. The Esau represents the Eastern bloc of nations who don't believe in the Messiah. And so you got this woman riding the beast and she's called a harlot. So, and also called a whore, right? It's the same thing. That is Israel. So everybody wants to know, well, who is the woman that rides the beast? They all think it's the Catholic Church. Well, the Catholic Church is a piece of it. It's a piece of it, but it's not the whole thing. It's the whole system in this country that is this woman that rides the beast. It is Israel. And it's not just our nation. It's all the Israelite nations. They're all doing the same stuff. All right, Revelation 17, verse 15. And he said unto them, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sits, are people and multitudes of nations and tongues. Okay, so the waters he's talking about, like we talked about before, are the people that are the nations and the nationalities of different countries and people. Okay, and then 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest on the beast, those are the kings of the earth. We've been talking about that for a while. These shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her to the fire. You know that are these big corporations, along with all the corporations that are with the government, are destroying this country. If y'all don't see that, I don't know what else I can tell you. But our country is being destroyed by really this whole system, true, but you've got the medical system, you got the agricultural system, you got the education system, you got the religious system, you got the governmental system, you got the military. All of them are all about money, and they don't care whether you, as long as you're going to pay it. If you want it, you're going to pay it. And that's where we are now, and I can't explain that any better than that the CEOs of these companies are corrupt, and the only thing they're interested in is more and more money and more profit. And so this is why America is going to be destroyed. She's being destroyed. Her prosperity is being destroyed. Do y'all understand that? By her financial systems and institutions. Now, going on, Revelation 19, verse 2, and true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and avenged the blood of the servants at her hand. Okay, so again, these are judgments that come on the great whore, which is the same thing as the harlot. Now, who is that? Does the Bible tell you who it is? Let's go look. Jeremiah 3, verse 6, and the Lord said unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which is backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every hill and every green tree, and there she plays the harlot. So everybody says, well, who is this harlot? Who is this harlot? Well, scripture tells you everywhere it's Israel. Everywhere in the 11 books, she's being compared to a harlot. Do y'all understand? It's not, this is not rocket science. He's just telling you who these players are. These symbols, you can learn what they mean by going to the Old Testament. The Old Testament's going to tell you. Now, here we go. Here we go. Isaiah 1, verse 21. How is the faithful city, which used to be our country? She was a religious, wonderful place to live at one point. Become a harlot. It is a full of judgment. Righteousness is lodged in it, but now murders. See, it was a righteous place. You still have righteousness in it, it says, but now murders, referring back to abortion. This is referring back to abortion right here. And it's not just that. I mean, there's many murders being committed in the country, but the primary murders that are going on is a, and I don't even remember the statistics of how many children are aborted daily. And maybe some of y'all do. Does anybody remember?
I don't remember how many children, but I also thought of when you said murderers, God says you shall not bear false witness, and spiritually you murder someone when you bear false witness. And we could see that going on all over, not just with the former president, but with January Sixers, just all kinds of people where false witnesses being born against them.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Very good point, Terry. Very good point. So who is the woman that's talked about in scripture? Who is the woman? Because they keep talking about this woman in Revelation 12. So who is she? This is a great presentation, by the way, to give to your family members, because, you know, they all are wondering about the book of Revelations. You know, it's not hard. It's not hard at all to figure out. You know, all the answers are in the 11 books. They're all in the books of the prophets. The books of the prophets are telling you the answers to what's going on in the book of Revelations. You don't have to go any further than there. It's not guesswork. Nobody's guessing. We're using the Bible to explain the Bible. So who is the woman?
Israel.
Yeah, well, she is Israel. That is absolutely true. But this particular woman that we're talking about is in Revelations 12, right? Where she goes into the wilderness. What is that woman? Okay. Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. So in this case, the book of Revelations is telling you who the woman is.
No, it keeps the covenant.
Yeah.
That is under covenant.
Well, yeah, that's the covenant too. Yes. If they're keeping the commandments, they're keeping the covenant. Yes. And have the testimony of Jesus. Now, the testimony of Jesus, there's two meanings to that. They believe in the Messiah. Okay. They believe in the Messiah, but it also means that's the spirit of prophecy. I didn't bring that verse in. That is in the book of Revelations. It tells you that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So it's the people who are under covenant. They are keeping the commandments, and they are looking. They're the watchmen. They're looking at prophecy. They're seeing it being fulfilled. Do you understand? It's more than the people that are just keeping the law and sitting on the side doing nothing. It's this woman who realizes the time frame that she's in. Okay, so this is who the woman is. Do you see how scripture just explains itself, that you really don't have to go and guess? You use history. You can use history to help, right? You can use statistics to help. But really, it's telling you the answers by using the book. That it's just amazing. But I could go into the part about Babylon. Y'all all know that talks about how Babylon falls. That's talked about in Revelations 18. Babylon has fallen. Babylon has fallen. See, that's another thing. Who is Babylon? Well, you go back to Jeremiah 51 and 52. And chapter 50, you go back to both, and it explains who Babylon is. So let's see if I can close this.
For more information about this broadcast, please visit our website at www.12tribehistory.com. That is the number 12tribehistory.com, or email us at lwatson44@cox.net with any questions or comments.